Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again, and as always, I greet you in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. And oh, friend, I want Him to become yours. He can be yours. In fact, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. And if you're in that lost column today, you may have started the day in the lost column, but that can change. You can get in the saved column really, really quick. And I believe this message will tell you how to do that, how that God provided a sacrifice through His Son to save sinners like me and you. Isn't it a beautiful day? It's just a lovely day. As I look out my study window here, how wonderful God has given us this day, how wonderful He is. And I trust it'll be filled with blessings for you. And I trust, as I often mention, the verse of Scripture out of the book of 3 John, as Paul was writing to Gaius, he said, "I pray that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." So if you're saved, you know what kind of good shape your soul is in. And my prayer is that physically you might be the same way. I've opened my Bible to the book of John, chapter 19, and I'll be looking at one verse of Scripture there. I'll be reading a few verses, but I'll take my text from one verse and just ask you to pray that the message might bring glory to God and be a blessing to you that listen. But right now, Deb's got a song she's going to do. The title of it is Saved by the Blood of the Lamb. That might be a little indicator to you, don't you imagine, of what this old country preacher is going to be preaching about today. Saved by the Blood of the Lamb. Look, I'll meet you back when Debbie's done in John chapter 19. Enjoy the song. I know you will. Thank God we're saved by the blood of the Lamb. There's no other way, by the way. There is no other way to be saved other than through the blood of Jesus Christ. So I know the Bible said we're saved by grace through faith, but we put our faith, bless God, into the grace that manifests itself in Christ at Calvary when He, God's only begotten Son, Mary's virgin-born Son, died as a sinner substitute and shed, not spilled, His blood, but shed His blood so that sinners like me and you, sir, ma'am, might be saved, might know Christ, might be washed from our sins in His blood. I'll tell you, friend, there's some people that try to do away with the blood of the Lamb, but the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews 9:22, it says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Well, I'll get to some of these things in a minute. Thank God. Thank God for the blood of the Lamb that was shed at a place called Calvary for sinners like me and you. I don't know about you, but that puts me on shouting ground. Do you hear me? I'm about to have myself a spell. Thank God. Thank God for the blood. For the blood of the Lamb. There's some people that don't want to sing about it anymore. There are preachers that won't preach about it anymore because kind of like this woman that came into this church one time and she looked at the pastor. She was kind of uppity up, you know, and said, now preacher, I hope that you won't make too much of the blood. I hope that you just don't make too much of the blood. And that pastor, wiser than what that woman was rich, said, look, sis, I promise you I won't. She said, well, that's good. I'm glad you won't make too much of the blood. He said, I won't. He said, because you can't make too much of the blood. Thank God. I'm glad for the blood of the Lamb. I'm glad for the fact that there is a fountain drawn. There is a fountain. What's it say? Drawn from Emmanuel's vein, and sinners plunge beneath the flood, lose all their guilty stain. Thank God for that blood of Jesus Christ that He shed at Calvary. Here in the book of John's Gospel, chapter 19, the Word of God says this, beginning of verse 31. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, that they might be taken away. Now, this is talking about the day of Christ's crucifixion. And you remember that when He was crucified at Calvary, there were two malefactors crucified with Him, one on His left and one on His right. And because it was the day of preparation for the Passover, and because, as it just said, the Jews didn't want to have any body hanging on the cross during that time, they begged Pilate and said, look, let their legs be broken, but all look and see who's in control. Bless God, Israel, or the Jews, the Pharisees, Sadducees, and the religious elite at that day and that time thought they were in control. Hey, I believe Pilate even thought to some degree that Rome, whom he represented, was in control. But I got news for you. Thank God, God was in control. He was guiding the hearts and the hands of man according to His determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, so that they might crucify His Son, so that He might become the sinner substitute. But it goes on to say, Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and the other which was crucified with Him. But watch this in verse 33. But they came to Jesus and saw that He was dead already. Thank God they break not His legs. Hey, He said, look, no man taketh my life. I lay it down and I take it up again. This commandment have I received of the Father, because He loveth me, and He loveth me because I always do the things that please Him. Well, they got to Jesus, bless God, because the Word of God said not a bone of Him will be broken. They didn't touch Him, not with that club to break His legs. He had already died. Man didn't take His life, but He laid it down. He gave up the ghost and shouted a triumphant word, Tetelestai, thank God. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced His side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. I'm going to talk to you today about the benefits of the blood. Boy, you're talking about a great verse of Scripture. There it is in John chapter 19, verse 34, thank God, there came out blood and water. And hey, even the order is important. Do you know that? Even the order is important. There's a grand old hymn that's been written long ago, and the title of it is beautiful. The title of it is, Rock of Ages. It was written by somebody of the name of Top Lady. And it says this in the first verse. Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin, the double cure. Watch that. Be of sin, the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. And I imagine because of poetical reasons, Top Lady mentioned the water before the blood. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. Listen, that's what the blood and the water does. Thank God, one of them saves us from the wrath of sin. The other makes us pure after we sin. I'm glad for the benefits of the blood. Thank God for the blood of the Lamb. Thank God for the shed blood of the Lamb of Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, why are you emphasizing the word shed? Well, there are songs that people sing talk about the spilled blood of Jesus or the blood that Jesus spilled on Calvary. I've even heard preachers use the phraseology that He spilled His blood at Calvary. Well, maybe they know something that I don't. Maybe they know a definition that I don't. But I'll tell you what I do know. Thank God, hey, I know what a spill is. And it's generally the result of an accident. It's something that wasn't planned. It happened, friend. It happened when it wasn't supposed to. But thank God, I want you to know the blood of Jesus Christ was shed at a place called Calvary according to the fulfillment of a divine work, of a divine plan that came out of eternity, where God at that time saw His Son Jesus as a lamb slain from the foundation. Yea, it says before the foundation of the world. I'm glad, thank God, that Calvary was not an accident, but thank God it was the fulfillment of a plan of redemption for sinners like me and you, the benefits of the blood. You know, the Bible tells us in the book of Leviticus chapter 17 verse 11 that the life of the flesh is in the blood. I don't know much about the blood. I don't know much about its properties. I don't know much about its parts. I do know there are five main parts of that, and there's no accident in that. When you begin to think about, bless God, we've got the grace of God that can make us new creatures in Christ because the blood of Jesus Christ was shed. Isn't that amazing? That's another message all its own. But listen to what God told the children of Israel through Moses a long time ago. He said, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood. For it is the blood. It is the blood. Have that making the atonement for the soul. I say, glory, hallelujah. Blood's amazing, is it not? I don't know much about it, but I'll tell you what I do know. You get injured, you get cut, you get shot, whatever the case may be, and you go to bleeding. You'll bleed for a little while, but if that blood isn't stopped, you'll bleed out, you'll die. I don't understand it. I absolutely don't understand the mystery of that life that's in the blood. But I know this, because Jesus died, because He gave us His life. Thank God I've got eternal life because I've had my sins washed away in the blood of the Lamb, according to Revelation chapter 1 verse 5. Oh, what a glorious thing it is to know about the blood of the Lamb, about that precious blood of the Lamb. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. If I didn't have any other reason, and I've got multitudes of reason, I had to believe the Bible is the inspired Word of God, I could look at the book of 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 19 and tell you it's got to be inspired. That book has got to be inspired. You say, why? Because Peter says, 1 Peter 1 and 18, he said, look, you've not been redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, receiving the vain tradition of your father, but with the precious blood of the Lamb, without spot and without blemish. Let me go there and read that, because I know I didn't get that as perfectly as it deserves, and I want to get it right. I want to get that grand verse of Scripture right. With the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. Thank God, listen, that blood of Jesus Christ, Peter says it's precious blood. Now we talk about things that are precious. We'll even talk about the blood on occasion. We'll talk about getting blood work. We'll talk about precious situations or people or things that we hold dear, that we put some kind of value upon. But nobody talks about precious blood unless it's God the Father through the Spirit of God speaking to a holy man like Peter, to people like me and you that have been saved, or people like you and I that need to be saved. And God said, listen, that blood that my Son shed at Calvary is precious blood. Hallelujah. You say, well, preacher, what are the benefits of the blood? Look, it's dangerous to preach about the blood. There's so many ways to go. There's so many things to say. Thank God. You begin to get in it and it just begins to grow and get better and better and bigger and better. But thank God. Look, we'll just look at a few things. You know, the Bible said that we're made nigh by the blood. According to the book of Ephesians chapter 2, you and I, friend, that are referred to as Gentiles, meaning that we're not a Jew. You know, everybody at one time were Gentiles. We'll say it that way. But since Abraham came along and his seed, all of those that were progenitors of him, there became a chosen group of people called the Jews. Everybody else was the Gentile. And you know what God did? God favored them. God chose them. God blessed them. God gave them covenants. God gave them promises. God gave them the law. God gave them a system whereby they could approach Him, whereby they could worship Him, whereby, bless God, that they could know Him and by their knowing Him tell all the world about Him. But there was a day, listen to this, according to the book of Ephesians chapter 2, there was a day when Paul said, wherefore remember that ye being in time past. That's before salvation, by the way. That's before putting faith and trust in Christ. By the way, Gentiles in the flesh who are called uncircumcision, but that which is called the circumcision, those are just words for Jew and Gentile, by the way, in the flesh made with hands. Now watch this. Watch how sad it was. Watch how bad off we were that at that time ye were without Christ. Boy, that's sad, is it not? He said not only that, but you were being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. My, what a bad situation that was. What a bad situation we were in. Hey, we were on the outside looking on the inside. We weren't given any covenants as Gentiles. Do you know that? According to the Old Testament, we didn't have the promises of God that Israel did. But I'll tell you, there's something happened. And I'm about to get happy again. Thank God. There was something happened on an old rugged cross just outside the northern wall of the city of Jerusalem, just outside the Damascus Gate, in a place called Calvary, the place of the skull, when Jesus, God's only begotten Son, Mary's virgin born, mounted a Calvary, mounted a cross of Calvary, was suspended between the heaven and the earth. And bless God, He became my substitute and yours. Shed His blood, I said, shed His blood, satisfied God's justice, satisfied God's holy claim on us, satisfied, listen, the demands of the law, paid the price of our redemption so that God Almighty could forgive us of our sins and bring us into a living and right relationship with Him. Hey, there was a time we were without Christ. There was a time that we had no part of the covenants and the promises of God. We were without God in this world, but watch this. But now in Christ Jesus, ye were sometimes were far off or made nigh by the blood of the Lamb. I say thank God for the blood of that precious Lamb who was sinless, who was spotless, that Lamb that John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that cometh to take away the sin of the world." I'm glad that His shed blood made me nigh, allowed me to come close, allowed me the privilege of having access to God in that holy place. Hallelujah. That had been cut off by sin. I'm glad for the benefits of the blood, aren't you? You say, what else do we have, preacher? Well, more than I've got time to give in the book of Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. Listen to what this says. And having made peace through the blood of His cross. Thank God we've got peace with God. You say, how can we have it? Well, you won't have it through dead works. You know the only thing that somebody dead can produce is something that's dead. A dead work. Dead works won't give you peace. Dead works won't give you a right relationship with God. Dead works, bless God, I won't get you what your soul needs to satisfy. I'll tell you, put your faith and trust in the shed blood of Jesus who died at a place called Calvary. And now we can have peace. We can have peace, you and I, that we're in enmity with God. You and I, who were strangers and foreigners from the commonwealth of Israel and from the covenants of promise. You and I, who needed to be reconciled to God. You and I, friend, who were sinners needing to be saved by grace. We, friend, listen, can have the peace of God. That peace from God that passeth understanding. That peace, bless God, that allows us to sing with a shout and with a triumphant voice. It is well with the soul. What else can we have, preacher? Well, we can have even the forgiveness of sin. Do you all know that the only way that you can have forgiveness of your sins is if the blood has been shed, redemption's price has been paid? He said in Ephesians 1:7, Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption. Now watch this. Through His blood. If you don't have a King James Bible, that may not be in your Bible. You say, "Oh, preacher, it's only absent here one or two times." Well, thank God, leave the blood alone every time. Amen. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Do you know there's no other way to be forgiven of your sins outside of the price of redemption that Jesus paid to satisfy the demands of the law, to satisfy the justice of God, to meet the demands of the holiness of a holy God? I'm telling you, friend, listen, do you know that the forgiveness of our sins is connected with the fact that Jesus paid our sins? Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Isn't that amazing? We're all sinners. We all need to be saved by the grace of God. And I'm telling you, there's only one way to get that. There's only one way to find forgiveness. There's only one way to have that right relationship with God. And boy, I was wanting to get to that. Justification. Justification. You know what justification means? Just as if I had not sinned. You'll find that in Romans 5 and 9. But it means more than that. It means, bless God, that God doesn't see me as if I had not sinned. It means that in light of what Jesus did at Calvary, God can make a judicial decision to receive every sinner that puts their faith and trust in Christ and then make them to be justified in His sight, which means that He doesn't only see us as if we had never sinned. He sees us as if we had never been a sinner, just like His Son Jesus. I don't understand all of that, but I'll tell you what I do. I understand it enough to say glory, hallelujah. And I want you to know that we are forgiven. We are forgiven in light of what Jesus did at Calvary. You know, sir, ma'am, if you're still lost, you're a slave to sin. Jesus did something remarkable. He came into the slave market where sin had us bound, and He found us on the auction block. And you know what He did? He shed His blood. He gave His blood. He paid the price of my redemption and your redemption. And oh, I'll tell you what He did. He came into the strong man's house, and because He was stronger, he overtook the strong man's house. He upset it, unsettled it. And you know what he did? He paid our price of redemption. And when he did that, friend, he assured us that we'd never go back into the slave market again. He set us free. The Bible said, he that the Son has set free is free indeed. I wish I could take the time to explain that and give you the words, the different words that are accompanying our redemption. But trust me, sir, ma'am, if you'll go to Christ today and say, God, I'm a sinner. I repent of my sin, and by faith I want to receive Christ as my Savior. You'll be washed in the blood of the Lamb. You'll be redeemed, bless God, because the blood that was shed. You'll find yourself justified in the sight of God. You'll find that your conscience is cleared so that you can not only serve God, but you can worship God. You can't serve God without worshiping God, and you can't worship God without serving God. And you can do it with a clear conscience. Bless God with assurance, with satisfaction, with happiness, with joy, and with the desire. And oh, look, there are more benefits of the blood than this, but there's enough that's been said to let you know that you can be saved today if you choose to. You that are saved, let's rejoice in what the blood has provided us. Until the next time.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at this same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TomAndDeBbie at inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours. To